Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Two Bros, One Flick. Andy and Sam here as always.
What's up everybody?
Joined with us by three guest reviewers. We'll kick it off with a return of Mr. A. How are you doing?
Doing great, dude. How are you this week, man?
Good, good, good. Glad you can make it. And also a brand new one, Mr. Soup.
Yeah, the Soup.
The Soup.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here today, guys. Always happy to watch a Wes Anderson film.
All right, very nice. And Rusty Trombone making his fifth appearance. Happy fifth, Rusty.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I love being here on Two Boys, One Flick.
Dude, thank you. Two Bros,
thank
One
you.
Flick.
What type of operation you running here, guys?
Yeah. And as Soup has told us about, we did review Wes Anderson's most recent film, the 2012's Moonrise Kingdom, also known to Diego as Sunshine Palace. We miss him.
That's why he's not in the review.
We miss him. Directed by Wes Anderson with a whole slew of awesome cast members. Yeah. Bill Murray, Bruce Willis, Ed Norton.
Jason Schwartzman.
Tilda Swinton. Harvey Keitel. Who's the lady from Fargo? Forgot her name.
Frances McDormand.
Frances McDormand. Yeah. Also, the last time I saw her in anything was the one where Brad Pitt gets shot in the face. Burn After Reading.
That's an awesome movie.
I love that scene. Yeah. But anyway, Sam, you want to give us a brief synopsis, and then we'll talk to the other guys about why they were excited about seeing this movie and what makes Wes Anderson special to them.
Yeah. So Moonrise Kingdom is a story about these two kids. They're about, I guess, 12, and I think the girl might be a little bit older. Maybe not, I don't know.
I think she's older than what she's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think they're about their 12, 13-year-olds.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like 12, 13-year-olds. And one runs away from a camp, one runs away from her house, and they just kind of explore an island together and try to kind of be like runaway lovers. Yeah. And then stuff happens. Yeah.
Tales all this time, right,
yeah.
Soup?
Yeah.
Aptly put. But Sam, what makes Wes Anderson... Why do you like Wes Anderson so much? And then we'll move it down the line, because these guys have... I think everyone likes him for different reasons almost. So.
Yeah. I really, really love everything Wes Anderson has made, except for Bottle Rocket, which I haven't seen, but I'd probably like that too, just because I like his directorial style. He's kind of quirky and fun. I really liked The Life Aquatic Steve Zissou, which I know Rusty Trombone really likes.
I'm a big fan of that movie, yeah.
Even though it was like almost universally panned as being kind of a terrible movie.
Great soundtrack.
I liked it a lot.
I think we're thinking about doing that as a Halloween theme, right?
That would be pretty cool.
Team Zissou, yeah.
Team Zissou, yeah.
You should join. Hey, you're all welcome to join.
Like, I'm going to make a boom and walk around with a boom.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You're going to be Willem Dafoe. No one ever picks me. Yeah.
Steve Z.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, no. I really just like everything Wes Anderson does, just because, you know, he has a very like obvious kind of tongue-in-cheek way of directing, and like the way he uses music. I can't think of a contemporary director who uses music that isn't like scored just for the movie in a better way. I just really like those.
Interessante.
Things. What about you, Mr. A?
Well, you know, I haven't seen Bottle Rocket either, Sammy, but the other films by Wes Anderson, Rushmore, Life Aquatic, of course, and my personal favorite, The Royal Tenenbaums.
What about Fantastic Mr. Fox?
I haven't seen that one either. I'll confess that.
It's a good watch.
I love that movie.
But, you know, that troika of films, you know, for the reasons that you mentioned, Sammy, just the interesting cinematography and the way that he's able to tell a story in a very unique and compelling way that, you know, sometimes people like that, some people don't. And,
definitely,
you know, that's what kind of makes him one of the most... interesting directors to watch currently working today.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Mr. Soup.
Oh, Soup. You've actually seen Bottle Rocket, right? I think one out of all five of us has actually seen it. Yeah.
We were talking down Life Aquatic, but of any film, I think Bottle Rocket is probably my least favorite.
Maybe not the best
of
one.
Of the Anderson films, yeah. So I guess what we liked about it, that's what we're doing.
Oh, not yet. We're talking about why you like Wes Anderson.
Why I like Wes Anderson. Yeah. Okay, well, I think a lot of what people have said here, obviously his film and cinematography, just his style in general.
Yeah.
A little sardonic, and everything's, you know, hyper-realistic, which I kind of enjoy. Just in all his films, every character is almost a character of themselves.
Yeah.
Because everything's played out to the full extent of the personality.
Definitely.
So that's something I enjoy through all his films, as well as just some of the stories. I think he writes families well. You know, no family or every family has its little idiosyncrasies, and instead of focusing on you know, oh, this is some loving family, he takes these families and he just draws on those little little idiosyncrasies.
For sure.
and exploits them to tell this really interesting film.
I think all of his movies are kind of family driven to a certain extent, like even Life Aquatic, where there isn't, you know, a set family, but you know, with Bill Murray's character and Owen Wilson and stuff. But yeah, definitely, I agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So those are things I really enjoy about Anderson. Just that, and even just the, like, I think we talked about when he opened it up, just the frame. Just right away, you're like, I like the way that he concocts a scene
From
a camera perspective.
Nice. Yeah. I guess we'll move it on to Mr. Trombone.
Wes Anderson.
I guess what I like about Wes Anderson is that all the characters have that, and all his movies have this kind of a dry sense of humor and kind of dark humor.
Oh, yeah.
Black humor. And then just the relationship between the characters and how the characters always have this, like, dysfunctional relationship, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost, like, too intense to take seriously. But, like, since they're so, like, into it, they're so natural, it kind of makes
it's like so intense that it shouldn't be funny, but that's what makes it funny.
Yeah,
is the intensity.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. What's you, Andy?
I don't know. I always think about Rushmore. I saw Royal Tenenbaums before I saw Rushmore.
Okay.
But I really like the Royal Tenenbaums. Just thinking about the soundtrack, you know, my favorite soundtrack of any of his movies is probably Life Aquatic, because I really like David Bowie.
Yeah,
and I mean, if you're a fan of the Stones,
what about Serge Gainsbourg covering David Bowie?
Oh yeah. I forgot about
again.
That. Yeah,
the Darjeeling Limited soundtrack.
That's pretty solid.
Really enjoy that.
Yeah, that is
well.
Really good. Yeah, it's a really good soundtrack too. Yeah.
Well, and I remember from the Royal Tenenbaums when they're doing the cast of characters and they're playing the second movement from Ravel's string quartet.
Yeah, yeah,
I thought that was extremely well done.
That was awesome. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things to like from him. Like you said, it's almost too intense. That you have to laugh. My mom doesn't quite get his films. For instance, when the little Indian guy, the Indian boy dies.
Oh, yeah.
In Darjeeling. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Where, and then he's like, I couldn't save him. My mom just thought that was like the funniest part of the movie.
Oh, that's really strange.
That's a little odd.
I don't think she was paying attention. So, because she's used to, like, you know, you get so much, you get different themes all around. There's some scenes that, some themes in all of his movies that kind of permeate throughout, but like, you get a lot of different things from this guy. I think that's what makes it popular, at least to us, at least. You have anything to add, Mr. A?
Oh, no, man. I thought I'm just following the conversation.
Oh, good. Well, let's get right into it. What you like generally and favorite scene. I know that, I know, like, for instance, maybe you can pick your favorite character too, because there are a lot of different people that you can really like in this movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I'll go first. Okay, what I liked about the movie, I really just like almost everything about the movie. The way the music is used, again, the way it's shot, because it is shot in a Wes Anderson thing, kind of a Wes Anderson style. But what I like also is, like, he's kind of stemming away from the really obvious shots, and he's kind of learned to use the kind of, like, like the panning shots. I guess that's what it's called.
The tracking shots.
He's like, kind of used the tracking shots in a really cohesive manner to, like, let you know what's going to happen next, but not have it be, like, you know, bump you over the head over it.
Right.
And the way that the film is kind of paced, and the way it's kind of moved forward with, like, whenever they're going from one place to another, you see the map. And like, the movie, I think, is only an hour and a half long, right?
About that, an hour and 40 minutes.
It's an hour 40.
But, like, to me, it felt like a lot longer, like, but in a good way. Kind of,
right.
Yeah.
The use of the map was pretty similar to the Royal Tenenbaums when they did the chapters.
Yeah. And I think
they kind of hold the story.
I think they do it in The Life Aquatic too.
That, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just, I thought they used it really, really well in this one. And I just liked all of those things. Favorite scene is probably the one where it's toward the end when the narrator, I don't know who that guy is.
The actor's been in a lot of things, and once you realize, like, he's been in a, I think Rusty said, not a Mighty Wind, but also he's the best in Show.
Bob Balaban.
Yeah, Bob Balaban. And he is the narrator. Like, that's his That's his
I remember him. Yeah, character. He was, if you remember from Steven Spielberg's 1977 release, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, he was the guy who was the translator for the French scientist played by Francois Truffaut. And that's where I remember seeing him before.
Okay, yeah. I really liked, I just.
This is why we have Mr. Yeah. A.
Dropping knowledge bombs on us all, yeah.
Fucking Leonard Maltin sitting right in front of me. Yeah,
yeah. I really like the scene toward the end where the narrator is speaking, and there's a car with like the top of a steeple like crushed over. I just like that.
Yeah,
because there was a lot of exciting stuff that happened, and then he like kind of reviews it and like he summarizes what's happening now very well. So I just really like that. Favorite character is probably Sam, because my name is Sam.
Okay,
and I like Sam. He's cool.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Goofy guy.
Moving on, Mr. A.
Well, I think this film is, you know, obviously each Wes Anderson film is special and unique. And I think the most favorite scene that I had was when the little boy goes to Bruce Willis's home and tries to spend the night with him. And, you know,
is that the first time when they're sharing, like, a beer?
Right. They're sharing a beer. Yeah. And, you know, I can kind of relate to that because I've been in situations like that before, you know, with people who I've respected, you know, my dad, people who... you know, I would consider also, you know, second fathers, third fathers, you know, people to me who have been mentors in my life. And, you know, that's something that's relatable. And, you know, the fact that, you know, when the little kid dumps out his milk into the ashtray.
I
think that was just that was a neat touch there.
No, that's a great scene. That's like a hey, real talk time scene. I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of underscores the thing, something really, to me, what goes on in a lot of Wes Anderson's movies. I mean, these are about people who can't communicate with each other.
Yeah.
And
a lot of the time.
You know, I think that's kind of like the emotional center, to me at least, of the movie was. Because you understand more about where this little boy's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely.
So all right.
Definitely.
You have a favorite character, by the way?
Favorite character, I would have to say, to me, it's either Ed Norton's Scoutmaster character.
He does a great job.
Because he seems like this lost guy who's trying to lead these little boys through one of the most awkward points of their life.
Yeah.
You know, and he's probably no much different than them. He's just a boy in a man's body.
Definitely.
You know?
Yeah. And I think
same with Rusty Trombone, actually.
Yeah. That's Rusty's life.
I do look very young. Very youthful.
Rusty is the scout leader of our troop.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
The page bastards or whatever.
We're just pigeon scouts.
Right.
We're just pigeon
scouts. So it's between Ed Norton's character and you said someone else. I didn't catch that.
I think it's also Bruce Willis's character.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does
a good job for sure.
Yeah.
Those are two good choices. Very nice.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. The soup.
Soup.
The soup speaks.
Okay. So like what I liked about the film, and I'll probably say most of this in, I like to relate things to other things,
right.
And especially with an art, like an art form, like film.
By all means.
So we open up with these tracking shots we've talked about.
Yeah.
You've got it. It's Wes Anderson has adopted it and used it through so many films. Probably one of the earliest and most quintessential versions of this was from a 1950s film called Lola Montes.
Okay.
It was kind of the first time somebody had stepped outside of a house and filmed tracking from window to window.
Yeah.
At the people inside. We see the same thing happen in Darjeeling Limited with the train cars.
Train cars, yeah.
We see it with the rooms in Royal Tenenbaums, and we see it again moving through the house. We get this really interesting layout of the house and introduction all the characters through the camera.
Right. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, Michael, you mentioned the Lola Montes film. That's directed by the German director Max Ophüls, who is one of the big innovators of tracking shots. And, you know, Wes Anderson, as you said, uses it. Kubrick was highly influenced by Max Ophüls, and you see a lot of those tracking shots used in his work too.
I think tracking shots. Boogie Nights, I think, has one of my favorite tracking shots coming through the crowd.
And that's Paul Thomas Anderson. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So yeah, I love
all these Houston boys.
Tracking shots are just where it's at for me. If you show me a film with good tracking shots, I'm probably gonna fall in love with it. So the film itself, I really enjoyed. You know, again, the classic tale: boy meets girl, and they run away together to be in love. There's that scene that Mr. A talked about with Bruce Willis. You know, the boy's talking, well, you know, we were in love, so we did what we had to do.
Yeah.
And I get that. But anyway, so being the Bergman file that I am, I immediately picked up on Summer with Monica, Okay. Monica.
Monica. That's with a K.
If you want to say it.
Yeah, it's
very
European.
Swedish.
It's European.
Which
yeah,
is
whatever.
The same story. They're a little older in that one, but they run away on a boat and try to live out their lives away from society because they're in love.
Yeah,
this is definitely a little more playful. If anyone's familiar with Bergman, that's usually not an uplifting film.
Usually, nothing, yeah.
Usually is a
humanity
an
is futile.
Yeah. Right, yeah. But that's also
very yeah,
yeah. But really enjoyed it. You've got the quirkiness of Wes Anderson playing through all of this.
Right.
My favorite scene is probably again because it kind of feels like Summer with Monica is when they're down there on the beach and they've spent a couple days there and then they're in the tent that morning and we see the girl's father.
Oh,
they open
yeah.
up the tent.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
there's
yeah,
Bill
yeah.
Murray
yeah.
who just looks at him and yeah. they immediately zip the tent up and yeah. Bill just runs over and just pulls the tent
yeah.
off of over
yeah.
them and
yeah.
and breaks it up. And I think there's just a lot of really great comedy
yeah.
packed into that scene.
Yeah,
for sure.
And throughout the movie.
Yeah. So my favorite character probably is Bill Murray. He's just kind of the lovable misanthrope.
Nice.
He's,
yeah.
He's there's no point to the scene almost other than I guess exploring the character. But when he comes downstairs with a bottle of port and
oh and the axe.
Pulls an axe,
yeah.
He says, I'm gonna go find a tree to chop down.
Yeah.
And
he's shirtless.
Just
yeah.
shirtless. Yeah. Just an old man in pajama bottoms.
It's
yeah,
like
oh,
so you can see his crack and everything.
And
right.
his kids are just playing jacks. Like this is a normal thing.
Right.
Like, this is
right.
my dad.
The kids don't even give a shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
so
he didn't even have to tell them.
That's probably my favorite character in the film.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Very nice.
Awesome.
Those kids were just kind of like little bastards in
yeah.
general.
That's like, that's why she hates him so much.
Yeah, it was they were very dislikable. It was
yeah.
fun. I think my favorite scene was with Ed Norton at the beginning when he's walking out of his tent and doing the inspection and smoking his cigarette. And he's
oh,
just
yeah.
like he's just like so into the scouting thing and he's just so serious about it. And that's where, like Mr. A said, you see this like the scout master who is like not completely grown up himself.
Yeah.
And that was probably my favorite scene. And also Ed Norton was
your
my
favorite
character
yeah.
as a scoutmaster. He was so lovable but so imperfect at the same time.
Yeah, and
he was really trying to do his best and he was doing a good job, but because of no fault of his own, like these kids kept on disappearing
yeah,
and like he loses control of
yeah.
like
and I,
the troop.
I think I can agree with that just because he seems to be more emotional than most of the other characters.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think
like he seems the most emotional.
Yeah,
throughout
I think
the movie.
I think him. I think Edward Norton. I think Bruce Willis are your emotional.
Yeah,
right.
Vantage
yeah.
points.
Yeah.
They're a little different than Wes Anderson's traditional characters.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I think Bill Murray and the wife.
Oh,
were more.
Yeah, those are.
And even the kids were more Wes
yeah.
Anderson-y.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're pretty Wes Anderson-y.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Andy. Did you say anything? Did you just like the characters in general? Was that your?
I said my favorite scene also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just wondering. I wasn't really paying attention. Sorry. No, I agree with everything you said, though. yeah.
Great.
That's our. It's kind of how
he's
going to
get a demerit.
Kind of our
Andy's
story,
gonna,
isn't it, Andy?
Andy's going to get a demerit for that one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Edward Norton's going to come out and write me up.
Yeah.
Russell's going to write you.
I think the thing, one of my favorite parts when he's going back to the Edward Norton deal about how he wants to be a scout leader and hasn't quite grown up yet is when he says, you know what, I changed my answer again.
About
I'm
his
a
job.
Scoutmaster first, a math teacher on the side.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind of
yeah.
sums it up. Favorite parts of this movie. I saw this in the theaters in Austin in May, and this is my second time around.
Yeah.
And I liked it the second time around after I watched the first time around. I thought it was a good movie. I watched it again. I liked it even more. I think it was one of those movies that you could
pick
enjoy.
Up on things.
Yeah, things yeah. you didn't catch necessarily the first time, but looking at all the other movies that I've watched with Wes Anderson and why I like this one a lot, I just kind of like the story. I think it's pretty unique.
Yeah,
it is a boy meets girl, but it's also
it's a cool story.
Yeah,
just because
yeah.
they're thrown into so many goofy situations.
The goofy situations.
Kids get hit
the goofy
by lightning.
The dialogue is pretty fun.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
The the children running away to get married.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a what I liked about it the second time around is there are so many scenes that I couldn't wait for you guys to actually watch the dog scene.
Yeah.
You know, which I don't know if you guys know this, but apparently there's a thing where Wes Anderson just does stuff to a dog in each movie. And I'm trying to recount different instances of how the dog gets the shaft in out the movie, in all the movies. Like, I don't know if in Life Aquatic, if there's a dog.
Yeah, there's a dog
something
on the island.
Happened on that pirate island.
Yeah, there's a pirate island and there's a dog on the pirate island.
Right.
And they decide to save the dog, right?
Or do they...
I don't remember.
I think they saved the
but
dog.
But he gets hit by the Porsche and Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah. And Royal Tenenbaums, the dog gets...
Yeah, so like I remember, you know, my uncle sent me a text showing me about his friends. He just went to go see it, and they tweeted about, you know, Wes Anderson must really hate the dogs or whatever. The dog scene, the scene where he eats with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Just other little shots of them, like, you know, canoeing by themselves. It's just like these little people in such a big world. It's fun to watch. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, on that point, Andy, I mean, not only are these little people, but I mean, the adults in the movie are not not any more developed than the little people are in the movie.
In fact,
I think, you know, the kids in the movie have a lot more emotional maturity as to what's going on.
Especially when, I guess, like, one of the troop members decides to, like, kind of rally all the other guys to help
up
Sam
in that
tree
house. Yeah, that tree house was awesome.
Up in that badass tree. Yeah, it's too high.
Too high. How would you build it? Lower.
Yeah.
I liked all the characters in that. Favorite scene of mine, such a tough call. I don't know. I think it would be...
Is it the water?
The water. What do you mean the water?
When he saves him after the flood.
Oh, yeah. That part when they save each other at the flood, but I think it's either when they're running, when he's running away with the flag and the come and get me, you bastards.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Or just the scene when they're like, oh, no, I take that back. My favorite scene is when they're like, I'm not going to go after him without a weapon.
And oh, yeah. All of
them, you know, just everybody's just like armed to the teeth.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious. And once you don't really get the sense of like kind of, you know, comedy until they're like, you know, the weapon. And that's when you kind of know, here we go. It's going to be kind of fun like this.
Yeah.
Favorite character? Definitely Bruce Willis. It was between Ed Norton and Bruce Willis are my two favorite. But Bruce Willis I like because he doesn't have a dog in the fight like Ed Norton or the family does. You know,
his is entirely like almost reputational. Like he should be able to, you know, handle the events that occur on the island, especially if just some
kids. Well, I was
going to
say, like, since he's not really for one side or the other, he can be
and
he's a no bullshit type of guy.
And that allows him to, like, care a lot more about, you know, Sam.
And I think why Sam opens up to him a lot more, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, but the great, great character, great scenes. I enjoyed the movie a lot, but, you know, I think we all liked it, but we all have some things. I know Soup has some things to talk about.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's start off with you with the things that you didn't like in general.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So as I've said, you know, before, I love Wes Anderson films, but this one's probably going to drop in near. It's definitely not going to replace any of my favorites.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
He says it in such a disappointing way.
Well,
I wanted it to replace.
I always expect a good one. I enjoyed it. But I didn't enjoy it as much as I could have. My problem was, as the movie just progressed, my suspended state of disbelief became unsuspended.
Right.
The issue that we're having is we have these little kids being incredibly pedantic. And it was just a little, in my opinion, a little too much.
Well, yeah, it's hard to believe.
It is. And I don't not believe pedantic kids. There's plenty of examples where that worked. The Goonies.
Yeah.
But look, we had the same director try to do it again with Super 8, and it was terrible.
Okay. I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen it either.
Don't bother.
Okay. Wow.
and we still have, you know, and even Wes Anderson, you know, has really unbelievable characters, but you accept it.
Yeah.
Here, I had a really hard time buying into it. A lot of the time, there were moments where I was like, ah, yeah, now we're back to it. Like, for instance, the scene where Sam is sitting with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, and he's like, yeah, you know, I love her. And there's this great, it's like, you know, I don't have to argue with you because you're 12.
Yeah.
I think we kind of brought it back down with that. So that was a little hard for me to get into. And tended to just, I guess, tint the whole movie for me.
Right.
But overall, I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. So that was just a hurdle.
All right. Who wants to go next? Mr. A.
Mr. A, you got this?
All right. Yeah, I guess. Right. Well, I'm probably going to echo some of the things that Mike's talked about. You know, and I mentioned this before. A lot of Wes Anderson's movies, you know, all they're done in a very cheeky way. They're they're talking about, you know, the emotional stuntedness that people go through, especially in, you know, modern society. You know, people who can't communicate with themselves and as a result are forced to kind of live in their own mind and become what the world would perceive as eccentrics.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, you know, you see that a lot in Rushmore, for example. I mean, the guy does all these things because, number one, he's striving to be something that he's not and wants attention.
Yeah.
And then that's also counterbalanced with Bill Murray's character, the alcoholic industrialist, you know. And, you know, Royal Tenenbaums also has those various characters that you can identify with. And as Mike said before,
Paltrow's character?
Yeah, Paltrow's character or even, you know, Ben Stiller's character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's something that you can identify with, a person whose experiences you can identify with. And I think that, as Mike said before, this is kind of a little bit of a stretch because it's trying to identify, you know, emotional development. It's talking about a lack of communication. It's talking about issues of conformity and nonconformity in society through the lens of two little kids.
Yes.
And to me, I found that a little alienating at first, but as the movie kind of wore on, I kind of got used to that pace and I got used to that rhythm. But that's probably one of the things that would detract me from it, because unlike, you know, Jason Schwartzman's character in Rushmore, or unlike the other characters, you know, the whole host of characters in Royal Tenenbaums, you know, they've got experience behind them, where these 12-year-old kids who are precocious for their age, they just don't.
Yeah.
And to me, I think that might be detrimental to the plot. That's just me. But, you know, it is a Wes Anderson film, and, you know, you got to be willing to buy in and go into the world that he's portraying to you.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So that's just my two cents.
Nice. Yeah. The same reason I liked it is kind of the same reason I disliked it. It's that Wes Anderson has these characters that are so interesting and unique, but they're all kind of Wes Anderson characters, and they're all kind of the same after a while. You know, it's kind of a... All
they're
his movies,
they're Wes Anderson archetypes.
Wes Anderson archetypes, and
they all
sometimes,
smoke.
Yeah,
yeah,
sometimes it gets
smokes.
A little tired.
Yeah, yeah.
But besides that, you know, I really liked it. I guess, yeah, I agree with Mr. A that the kids could have been more like kids.
Yeah,
and I think that would have made it better.
The one thing I did like about kids being a little older was Sam smoking his corncob pipe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I loved that of all the other things they did, but he'd cut to him and he was puffing away on a pipe.
Yeah, especially
and
puffing and canoeing.
And
especially
canoeing.
When they first meet with Susie, you're just like, is he really smoking? Like,
I loved
it.
That was great.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because I think what it is, it worked sometimes and it didn't work sometimes, you know? And I don't know, as a general consensus, would you say, I guess for Soup, would you say it worked more often than not, or the other way around?
I think the times that it worked were the exception to the rule for me personally.
All right. Okay.
I feel like most of the time I was fighting it, and then every now and then they came through in these shining moments.
Yeah.
So
I'd say that's kind of like the whole feeling of the film, because, you know, it's really quiet, but when things are really awesome, everyone's like, this is great.
Yeah.
Or when things are funny, we all kind of belt it out.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis especially.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's kind of like the main criticism that Wes Anderson has had throughout his entire career is like, either you like the style or you don't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If you dig it, you dig the movie, but, you know.
Yeah. I guess. Sam, you haven't gone yet. Let's go, man.
Okay. Things that I didn't like. I think the corn cob pipe is probably just something I wasn't really feeling.
What?
No, I mean, I like it in some parts, but it's a little like sometimes, like when he first meets Susie, that part is that time it's great. But then later on, like he's like sleeping or something, he has a corn cob pipe.
The corn cob pipe was one of the things that made him seem more like kids to me, that he would be like walking around smoking his corn cob pipe,
I mean,
thinking
I liked
he was
it,
so
but
cool.
I just think it could have been used a little less. Yeah. That's a really minor quip, because I really don't have
That's really it? That's really, wow. Yeah. So you're getting, I was going to say, like, I like the corncob pipe and, like, the coonskin cap. You know, that cap, it's like, no, he, you know, the cap, they want to be, he wants to be a big boy, and that's what he's, that's what I think he's doing.
I'm going to take a quick side trip here on the overall fashion of the movie.
Okay.
I thought it was great. I loved
it. Right.
Bill Murray's,
really well.
Plaid
awesome
pants.
Plaid pants, right?
You had the little girl with some really great 1960s dresses and jackets.
Yeah, and I remember the one scene that kind of sticks out in my mind's eye was at the very beginning where Bruce Willis calls the Billingsley family, and they're all wearing there's all the mustard yellow tile and the telephone and the clothes, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was a standout.
It definitely it just added to the atmosphere and the mystique of the film.
Yeah, right. Definitely. Yeah. Everyone looks really Wes Anderson-y. It's meticulous. Yeah. No Louis Vuitton baggage.
I have noticed
that. No Louis Vuitton baggage.
I missed the Louis Vuitton.
The future.
I'm impressed that Sam was looking for that.
Well, yeah, no, because he uses it.
Sam loves Louis Vuitton.
Well, no. Because he uses it in everything except for the Fantastic Mr. Fox, because they don't have luggage or anything like that.
Well, they're foxes.
Well, yeah.
They
have luggage.
Still have it. The boy smokes corncob pipes. They need the foxes to have Louis Vuitton.
Yeah. But the future is still all over the place. So if you're fan of typography, he uses it a lot still.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's your nitpicky.
Yeah, like, mine was just the
that's
corn.
Fine. That's actually
I mean,
good
I
sign.
Liked it, just not a little less.
And that's the weird. That's the weird part about with my experience. I would say, when I first watched it, I was like, that's a good movie. And there's nothing really that I didn't. I was like, man, that really bothered me.
Yeah.
The kids talking, you know, sometimes I thought like, okay, this is a little, let's be real here, right?
Yeah.
And other times I thought it worked out fine.
Yeah.
I'll chalk my complaint up to Mr. A and Soup's complaint of like the children's speech.
Yes.
But
a little
the children of men. Yeah. But yeah, the Wes are Wes Anderson. Archetypes.
Archetypes. Really?
Yeah. Okay. They you know, by at this point, either love them or hate them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Aaron, I mean, Mr. A made a good point about you have to buy in. So if you buy in right at the get-go, I think you'll like the movie.
Yeah.
Let's move it around for the scale of 1 to 10, why you liked it. And we'll start off with the newest guest.
Yeah.
Between 1 and 10, what would you give it? We can do 0.5 if you want to.
Yeah.
And
you can do
fact,
light and strong the way I do.
Yeah. I always do 0.5.
I'd like to know, okay, so what is, I mean, 1 to 10, it's a little arbitrary.
It's whatever it means to you, man.
Whatever it means to me.
Well,
all right.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
I'll explain
yeah.
my system.
Okay.
Oh, your system.
I'm rather low in general. Like, 10 is the unicorn of films.
Okay.
Like, it's a nearly
it's a
unachievable.
It's a myth.
Right, right. So that tends to lower all the other numbers respectively.
Right
so
on. Yeah.
If it comes off low, I just want to explain that.
Yeah,
Because I did enjoy the film. Probably like a 6.5.
Jesus.
Okay.
That's pretty low.
It's his scale.
Oh, it's his
right,
scale.
It's my scale. Like I said, it's a.
You want to give us
scale?
A sense of scale of what other Wes Anderson movies mean to you?
I was going to say, I was about to compare it to my other Wes Anderson films. Whereas something like. Okay, so Royal Tenenbaums. I
Rushmore?
Loved Royal Tenenbaums. No, but Darjeeling Limited.
Oh, Darjeeling.
I'm one of three brothers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when I saw that film, I had this really deep emotional connection to it, and
mm-hmm.
I was like, I have to show this to my brothers. We have to go on a trip, and we have to wear suits.
Yeah.
And
Angela Houston's your mom and tells you what to eat.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You blow on feathers and whoop around. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. I was like, oh my gosh, this has to happen. So for me, that film was like. You know, an 8 or a 9.
Okay.
There, and then with the Royal Tenenbaums as well. Again, a lovely family drama. Mm-hmm. That was like an 8 or so, and then also Rushmore, another 8. Whereas like a 7 would probably be like Life Aquatic.
Life Aquatic.
Okay.
Comes in right there.
Nice. Okay.
And then Bottle Rockets for me was like. 4.5 or 5. It didn't go anywhere for me.
Yeah. That is brutal. Yeah. Yeah.
Crushing.
So that's what I thought of the film, and you know, we've discussed our
reasons.
Would
you recommend it?
I would absolutely recommend it. I would not recommend it to a non-Wes Anderson fan.
Okay.
I think
if this is a starter out.
Yeah, this is not if you're like, hey, I've heard about Wes Anderson, I want to be into Wes Anderson.
I'll watch Rushmore instead.
Yeah, don't watch this film first. Because you again it takes a lot of buying in.
Mm-hmm.
To the stock, and when I think once you get used to his characters, it's a little easier. But even for me, it was a little hard. So
rock on. Yeah. Okay, I guess we're moving on to Mr. A.
All right, guys. Well, you know, I've already had my criticisms with the film. I think that there are some the style sometimes is a little overwhelming, and the it's kind of hard to get into the story just because of the fact that your protagonists are such a young age, you know?
Yes.
So, but the style, again, I mean, it's Wes Anderson's kind of like the Phil Negro of film directors, you know?
Uh-huh.
Either it could be right down the middle or he could bean you in the head,
yeah.
You know? And I think this is kind of moving outside the... This is kind of moving outside the strike zone a little bit for me. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I don't enjoy it, kind of like Soup said, the other Wes Anderson films. To me, The Royal Tenenbaums and Rushmore are my favorites.
Okay.
And I think I would have to give this movie about a strong 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah. So
Coming up.
Yeah. So that's my take on it. You can take it or leave it.
I had to go check the door, but did you say where this fell within like the Wes Anderson spectrum for you?
I kind of alluded to that. I think to me, Royal Tenenbaums and Rushmore to me
are superior.
Are vastly superior films.
Okay.
And then you know before that I'd put you know the Darjeeling Limited and I'd have to put Life Aquatic. I can't determine which one would be the stronger of the two films,
because
I mean, you know, with Wes Anderson, each film is a closed universe to itself, and it's hard to compare.
So true. Yeah.
But to me, yeah, I think it would, like Soup said, if you don't know Wes Anderson films all that much, this is going to come off as a little alien, and it's not going to be a particularly enjoyable movie-going experience.
Yeah. Right.
So, regrettably, I would have to agree with Soup that it would be kind of on the lower spectrum of Wes Anderson's work. But that's kind of like saying, you know, The Dark Knight Rises is a bad film.
Yeah.
I mean, all of Wes Anderson's movies, you know.
That was your favorite.
Yes.
Soup, that was your... I hear that was your favorite of the Batman trilogy?
My favorite of the Batman trilogy was this latest one, Dark Knight Rises.
Oh,
wow.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay. But, you know the analogy is that, I mean, you know, some people didn't like that movie, I mean, but, you know, otherwise, the director, he's a great director.
And he's consistent.
And he's consistent, and he makes great product.
Yeah.
So...
Very meticulous, detailed product, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's not a bad thing.
No.
That's not a bad thing. We're talking about somebody who's an incredible talent.
Yeah, it's an exponential curve, you know. They're all real good.
They're all real good. It's just some are better than others.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And like, you know, this is kind of interesting because Mr. A was here for a couple
weeks
ago for watching Cruising, and we went from like sweaty nightclubs in Crisco to khaki kids, khaki scouts.
And thunderstorms.
He's been through the thick and thin with us now. Nice,
yeah,
nice.
That thicket.
Oh yeah, yeah. Moving it on to Mr.
Rusty.
Trombone. Let's see what you got, man.
Yeah.
What did I give the movie we watched yesterday, The Big Blue?
You gave Big Blue a 6.5.
I believe it a 6.5. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I like this like 5 times more than
than
The Big Blue.
So you're giving it like a 37?
No, but like I just can't rate it on the same scale. You know,
I mean,
I'm having trouble getting
the
consistency.
You're
getting
the conform,
Rusty.
Well, it's just what you feel, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 7.5 also.
Okay.
All right. So
and why?
I mean, I really liked it. Honestly, I liked it being about kids and the scouts, and I liked the scenery, and it was just different, you know, and having it focusing on the kids, instead of adults, And that was, you know, it's just a different Wes Anderson movie with a different theme.
Yeah,
it was very. It's funny. Most of the adults were pretty flat characters.
Yeah,
it was kind of like watching an episode of The Rugrats, directed by Wes Anderson, because the kids.
Interesting way to put it.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to describe it here because I can't think of anything that's more about the kids.
Love the Rugrats
with care or like or the Peanuts or something like that, where the
don't
kids
like
are the store are the story.
Okay.
And the adults are kind of these peripheral characters that just happen to exist
right.
and move the story along.
Right.
Okay. I could see that.
I could see that too. Was that it, Rusty?
Yeah.
You would recommend it?
I would. It was kind of a lot like the Peanuts comics in that they act like very adult-like often too.
Yeah, especially with, you know, the Halloween special.
Yeah, and the pumpkin and
it's
stuff.
It's a great pumpkin, yeah.
They're getting psychiatric help from
from Lucy for 5 cents.
That's not a good
doctor.
She's crazy.
Always moving that football around.
Yeah. That bitch.
Jerk.
Yeah. 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 Do you want to go or you want me to go, man?
You go.
All right. Well, I will give it an 8. Yeah. That's a high one. But I gave Leon the Professional 8.5. Sense of scale, right? Yeah, right. I like that movie a lot. I like this movie a lot. And in the realm of Wes Anderson movies, for me, yeah, it would be Rushmore number 1, Royal Tenenbaums number 2, this one number 3.
Wow.
Life Aquatic number 4, and okay, Darjeeling Limited,
okay,
the 5th one. And I like all of those movies, but I do like Moonrise Kingdom a fair amount. I think Royal Tenenbaums and Rushmore just way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
Okay.
But this one was enjoyable to me. There's lots of different scenes you can come away with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the scene when they're up on the steeple right before.
Yes.
Right in the storm, and it's the dark blue filter.
Yeah.
Right? You know, stuff like that. They throw their masks into the graveyard, and you see it float.
Yeah.
Right down there. Things like that.
Yeah.
It's not the first time Bruce Willis has been standing in the rain, hyper-stylized. Yeah. Like straight, I swear I saw a scene from Sin City.
That is, right? Yeah. For sure. But I just thought it was a good movie. I would recommend it to any Wes Anderson fan. I do agree with what Soup said about, like, this is one that I would not say, if you had not seen it, do not watch this movie before you watch. Watch Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
I would recommend it to anyone, personally.
Really?
Okay. Are you backtracking?
Huh?
I would give it to a general recommendation.
Yeah, that's what he said before. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, yeah. That happens a lot. I'm sorry, Rusty.
I always pay attention to you, Scoutmaster Rusty.
You are my Scoutmaster.
Ranger Rusty.
Uh-huh. All right.
Ranger Rusty.
Don't demote Andy and Sam.
No.
Just Andy, because he's the one who's not paying attention.
Yeah. But an 8, I'm not going to give it anywhere above or below. I just think it's a solid 8.
Okay.
I really enjoyed the movie. I liked it a lot more the second time I watched it. And the first one, I probably would have given it, the first viewing, I would have given like a 7, 7.5.
Okay.
But this time around, I don't know what it was, but I could watch it and just, you know, enjoy it for what it was.
Okay.
So kind of like Eyes Wide Shut then.
Oh, Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
I think
it gets better on subsequent viewings, right?
I think most of Kubrick's stuff does that though.
Yeah.
Eyes
yeah.
Wide Shut, yeah. Crisco.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Watching Cruising again, huh?
Cruising. Yeah. Yeah.
Antichrist by
Lars von Trier.
Melancholia
does that
too.
You're
going to watch it once and you're going to go, God, I never want to see that again.
Yeah.
Watch it 2 more times, it gets great.
Melancholia can do that too.
Advice well taken.
Actually, most of Lars von Trier stuff. Europa, because there's so much stuff.
Awful.
Well, Europa I thought was okay. It's just like there's a lot of stuff that's going on. It's kind of confusing. So, yeah.
Anyway, let's get back on track, Sam.
Okay.
Lead us there, good master. What did you give us?
You guys are going to make me feel dumb now. Because, I would probably have to give this movie a 10.
Just Whoa!
Like,
there's no way, man. You just you were that nitpicky. That makes sense.
Really,
you didn't have anything bad to say about
really
it.
Really, it's just the corn cob pipe for me.
The corn cob pipe was
used it a little less. Would
give
be
me
good.
Another.
How could you complain about that? That's not something to complain.
I know.
About.
That's what I'm saying.
I just want to hear another 10 films.
Yeah, man. This is the first.
Tree of Life.
Right.
Yeah.
Tree of Life a 10.
I don't know, man. That movie's kind of like
Terrence Malick.
I love Terrence Malick, and I like that movie.
I think I loved Thin Red Line.
Yeah, that's good.
Malick's films are just like you have to watch them on one or two, three, four, five, six occasions to kind of get what the hell is going on.
Yeah,
I've watched it a couple times.
That's okay. Well, let's hear him out on why he's going to give it a 10,
well,
and
okay.
then we can
like,
sandbag him.
Well, okay,
that's fine.
That's fine. I don't know. I think I might be approaching Wes Anderson's movie a little bit differently because I like the kind of hard to believe childlike wonder in a lot of his stuff. Because like you guys said, it's a totally legit criticism that they're kids who are acting like overly adult or like, you know, they're kind of pedantic.
Right.
But I sort of like that because I think that's what makes a lot of the characters just believable in a Wes Anderson universe. Like you have to expect things like that. Because if you didn't, it would probably just be like a really, like a pirate radio kind of thing, where they're just trying to mimic a little bit of that style. Not that pirate radio is bad; that's a cool movie too. I found this to be kind of a cognate of the Fantastic Mr. Fox, which was my this is the Moonrise Kingdom is replacing the Fantastic Mr. Fox as my favorite Wes Anderson.
Nice.
Just because I really love the Fantastic Mr. Fox a lot, because Roald Dahl is awesome, and yeah, there's that line where there's a couple of parts in the movie where I guess George Clooney's character in the Fantastic Mr. Fox talks about how like the reason why they act out all the time and do all this like steely kind of crazy stuff is because they're wild animals, and I kind of like that. Wes Anderson is doing another movie in which he's letting, you know, kids be wild like that, because I don't know. I really like that that theme in his movies. And I think he's getting it more and more. That's also why I don't really like... I mean, I do like the Darjeeling Limited and those movies a lot, mm-hmm. too. But they're not as, I guess, free to just act out and be ridiculous and hard to believe. Basically. I like that it's hard to believe, I guess.
You like... Okay. That's an interesting approach to it.
Yeah.
No. Say it. No, yeah, you can say it, yeah. Sue. And then we'll have Mr. A talk about
it. Not allowed to act out. They're doing mescaline and, like... I mean, this is talking about Darjeeling Limited here. You know, roaming through the Indian countryside, doing drugs, shagging stewardesses.
I also just did. Like, that's my least favorite Wes Anderson movie from what I've seen, too.
Well, wait to see Bottle Rockets, apparently.
Yeah. Maybe second least.
Yeah. But what about Mr. A? What do you have to say about that?
Well, Sam, I can kind of see where you're coming from. I mean, you know.
The gentle soul.
These are fantastic films. And I mean, in the literal sense of the word. You know, these are alternative universes that he's exploring, right?
Yeah.
So I can understand where you're coming from. I just, you know, like kind of like I said before, you know, if you're not used to Wes Anderson, or if you do know Wes Anderson, he's kind of like the Phil Negro of and Mike or Soup. I know you don't follow sports, so
yeah.
I mean, either it can go down the middle or it can hit you. I think, you know, based upon the way we've all scored the movie today, I think that's indicative of that.
Yeah.
I just heard him say film Negro.
Great.
Awesome. I get it. You're not going to knock him a 0.5 because he didn't have any Louis Vuitton in there?
It's just something. I mean, like, that's what I mean. Like, I pay attention to all those things, and like the way he uses like font text and like just goofy stuff.
Well, maybe
shit like
social
that.
Services had Louis Vuitton on. You don't know.
Oh, yeah. You don't know.
No. I mean, the. Like,
do you have any Louis Vuitton shoes,
no.
Sam?
I wish I did.
You have such a shoe collection.
Get some LVs. Get some Yeezys. No.
You're like a man's version of Imelda Marcos.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm like a man's version.
Oh,
great. Do that laugh again.
Well, I understand where he's coming from, and in fact, I say that we all here have given it a recommendation to general Wes Anderson fans. To give it listeners an idea of the spread, it's a 6.5 from Soup.
Yeah.
Right?
7.5
from Mr. A.
Mr. A. Rusty.
7.5
from
Rusty. And
then
you go from an 8 to me.
Yeah.
And then Sam gives it the unicorn.
Yeah.
The unicorn. Which is good. I mean, he hasn't given out too many tens, and I think if you keep it with in the vein, you really liked Tree of Life.
Yeah,
like you love Tree of Life.
Yeah,
and you apparently really love this movie, which is good. And I thought you would really like it.
Yeah, I was beaming almost the entire time.
You were. I saw him doing like one of these like yeah man, fuck yeah.
I mean, and I did it for like stupid shit. Like whenever they passed, whenever she pulled the book out, I was like yeah, Futura, finally, medium standard, great. You used it. Use it for the first time on a book now. Great job.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. And I guess I'll just thank these guys. Thank you, Soup, for coming on our first
one.
Thanks,
Soup.
Great job. Yeah, maybe any ideas for the next one we should do?
Yeah.
Well, I think we talked about, I wanted to show all you guys my possibly favorite, my 10.
Okay.
Your 10.
His film, unicorn.
One of my unicorns, Metropolitan.
Right.
Okay.
So
we shall be doing
I saw the trailer
soon.
For that. It looked pretty cool.
It's amazing.
It's all. It's really
all you listeners in Radio Land should go.
It kind of reminded
it.
Me of just the trailer. Kind of reminded me of No Exit. I like that.
Yeah.
The dialogue.
Be on the lookout for that. That's coming up. And Mr. A, as always, thank you for coming. And what do you think
thank
we should
you
do
so
next?
Much.
Well, I have two recommendations.
All right.
You know, we're coming up on
Halloween. Yeah.
Period. So I'm going to go back with an oldie but goodie, 1980s. The Dead Zone, directed by David Cronenberg.
Okay.
Starring Christopher Walken and the late Herbert Lom.
Okay.
Cool.
And the other movie, you know, I think I mentioned this guy to you guys before, mm-hmm. but the Bader-Meinhof Complex.
Oh, yeah. We saw that one on Netflix.
Which is on Netflix.
Yeah. I've never seen that one.
It's about the Red Faction in West Germany in the early 1970s and the terroristic escapades that they went on.
That is so cool.
Very cool.
Nice.
I'm sure that's going to be real grimy, too.
Oh yeah.
Would you? You guys are basically giving these like straight up recommendations to go view right now, anyway.
Absolutely. If you have any chance to see Metropolitan or and I'm blanking on the director's name right now, Whit Stillman.
Right.
Any of his films? I know he just came out with a new one I haven't seen yet. But Run, Don't Walk.
Yeah.
To your nearest Barnes & Noble, pick up a Blu-ray copy.
Yeah, very nice. And, you know, last but not least, the five-timer.
Rusty.
Do I get some sort of award
or
plaque?
We'll get you a TR after this, yeah.
Okay. I guess my next recommendation is going to be The Boys from Brazil. I haven't seen it.
Oh, that's a great movie,
dude. I want to see it.
Great movie.
I think I used to have that, but I think I lost the VHS.
Who's in The Boys from Brazil?
That's the late, great Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck.
Yeah.
Sir Laurence Olivier, and in a very small role, Steve Guttenberg.
Huh. What? Cool. We're going to be watching for that Guttenberg appearance then. That should be fun.
Yeah.
All these movies we'll probably review soon.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming by.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and as always, we appreciate your questions, comments. Tell us what you thought about Moonrise Kingdom. Did you love it? Did you hate it? And why? And yeah, thanks for listening.
Thanks. Bye.